Grace and peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Preaching on the epistle lesson again this morning. The epistle lesson sandwiched between the Old Testament lesson where Amos is chastised for speaking God's word and the gospel lesson. You know, it's always strange to me after reading, about John the Baptist and having his head chopped off and it being brought on a platter, that I end that with, this is the gospel of the Lord. The gospel is good news. This is the good news of the Lord. Well, it is, and it all does tie together. Once we understand better what the epistle is telling us, and I want to reread a portion of the epistle, Ephesians 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. That covers a lot of ground. Every spiritual blessing. That we should be holy and blameless before God. In love, He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of His will. God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. We have been predestined for adoption to Himself through Jesus Christ. To me, this is some of the most profound revelations of God to us that exist in all of Scripture. A long time ago, I created a little modern-day parable to help me and to preach a little bit while how this might make even bigger impact on us. So, here's my parable. The kingdom of God is like this. A couple, man and his wife, in their early to mid-30s, had a child. They'd planned for this event for a long time, but the pregnancy had been very, very difficult. It destroyed the woman's body, and then the stress of the birth completed that. And so, as at the birth, she became paralyzed, her internal organs shut down, her kidneys, her liver, her breathing. She almost died. But luckily, they had the medical equipment there to keep her alive. She stayed in the hospital a couple months, and then she was moved to the home that she and her husband had built recently and just moved into. It was a special home. It was very open floor plan, hardly any walls. And there was a raised platform in the middle, and that's where they put the woman in what some of you may remember was called an iron lung, a totally enclosed tube where just her head was sticking out, and machinery was breathing for her and pumping her blood and filtering her blood and all that. But she was conscious and awake. She could watch. And a series of mirrors over her bed allowed her to reflect and look at every corner of the house as her husband raised their new child. And in this way, she could participate in it and see his eating and his sleeping and his meal time and his play time and all the things. And so this went on for years. Over the course of the years, some improvement in her condition took place, but not without exhaustive, tiring, and painful procedures and therapy. Meanwhile, the child grew. When he graduated from high school, the mother was able to be there in a wheelchair with some of the equipment still attached. When he graduated from college, she was able to get down to the seat in the auditorium on crutches with braces on her legs. A few years later, when he got married, minus the braces, she was able to hang on to an usher's arm and walk all the way down the aisle to her seat up front. The reception, wedding reception, took place, and the young man, the child who had been born, who was now a young man, was there, and the family's doctor came by. The family's doctor had been a good friend before this child had been born. He knew the family early on, and they were very good friends. And the son talked to him, and then he said in confidence, "You know, I feel a little bit guilty. I feel a lot guilty." He says, "What? Why?" the doctor asks. "Well, I just can't help feeling that guilt for all that I have put my parents through. My father had quit his job, and he used a small inheritance he had received from his parents to raise me and to be able to stay home and to take care of Mom and all her things, and they hardly have anything, and I've been so blessed by them. I just wonder deep down if they aren't just a little bit resentful of what they had to go through for me. After all, if it had not been for me, they would not have had to go through all that." The doctor kind of looked at him with surprise, and he thought a moment and then said, "Son, I think there's something you should know. You see, because of your mother's unique chromosomal makeup, we were able to predict to your parents when they first talked about having a child what would happen to your mother's body if she were to go through pregnancy and childbirth. Both your mom and your dad were fully aware of what it would cost them very personally to have a child. And while it is true that if they had not had you, none of this would have happened to them. But you've really got it all wrong. You're looking at it backwards. You see, your parents designed the house you lived in and grew up in and ordered your mother's medical equipment and that iron lung over a year before you were born. It's not if it hadn't been for you, they would not have had to go through that. From their perspective, it's if they had not gone through all that, they would not have you." Our epistle lesson tells us today that God planned our salvation, planned the sacrifice of his son before he ever said, "Let there be light." Before the world was ever created, everything was set in place. And you and I and whoever else believes in Jesus Christ and is baptized in his name were predestined before the creation of the world to be adopted as sons of God, as inheritors of God, as children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. We're not just told that here, it's several places. Here it is in Revelation 13:8. Says all inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast. That's the bad news, who's, you know, those who have fallen away from Christ. "All whose names have not been written in the book of life belonging to the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. Jesus in the book of Revelation is pictured as, it takes the form of a lamb who has been slain. Okay? He's there in heaven at the right hand of God. He's sitting on the throne. God gave all things to him. When we get taken to heaven with him, Jesus is going to present it all back to the Father for his glory with you and me. In 1 Peter 1 we read, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ," listen, "a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world." And now, in Ephesians 1, "For God chose us in Christ Jesus before the creation of the world, and we were predestined for adoption as sons." Predestined. In other words, it had already been determined before God ever created the world and Adam and Eve and all that we read about in Genesis and Exodus and the whole scripture of God. See, God knew what it would cost him very personally to create the world and place man in it, Adam and Eve. He knew that it would be very troublesome for him, if you want to look at it that way, for God. That Adam and Eve would fail him in his love for them. They would betray that love and they would pass that sin, we call it, down to everyone after that. And that he would choose a people to be his people, the children of Israel, and they would let him down over and over and over again and rebel against him, and the majority of them would walk away from him permanently. And it would be up to him to keep a remnant around so that he could bring forth Jesus at the time and place that he had already predetermined. He knew that his son would willingly have to go to the cross, suffer, and die, and rise again for us to be with him, which was his end game, his real plan. That's what it would take. And yet, he did it anyway. Why? Why, knowing the full cost to have you and me and all who believe in Jesus Christ to enjoy his presence eternally, why would he do that? I know I'm not worth it. And I know a couple of you out there, you aren't worth it either. Why would God do that? Because he wants that so much. Not for his sake, for your sake, for my sake. He wants us to eternally enjoy his presence, and he wants to be with us. There was a book written 15 years ago or so, Pastor Warren out in California, Purpose Driven Life. The first sentence of that book is, "We were made to worship God." We were made to worship God. It's like, if we're not doing that, the onus in that sentence is all on us. We've got to worship God. That's what we're here for. I think the book went wrong right there. It's a great book about many things. But let's turn that around. It's not if God hadn't had to go through all that. No. It's not if we hadn't not worshiped God, he wouldn't have had to go through all that. We don't need to feel guilty and that we have to make it up. I would start that book totally on the other end. I would say, we were made to be loved by God. We were made to be loved by God. See, God is love, and love needs an object. Love needs something to love. And that's where you and I come in. God predestined us for adoption. God predestined us for eternal life in Jesus Christ before the creation of the world. That is an amazingly deep and personal statement. That's how much God loves you. That's how much God loves me. What a great God we have. You see, while it's true that if it had not been for us and our sin passed down from Adam, God would not have had to go through all that he went through and described in all of Scripture. But it's like this, from God's point of view. If he had not gone through all of that, he would not have you. Thanks be to God and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.